Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Well, good morning, and thanks for listening on this, well, for many of you, the first day of 2022, New Year's Day weekend for the rest of you. You know, it's tough to find just the right song to kind of capture the essence of a brand new year that we stumble into. I did not want to play Auld Lang Syne because you heard that last night, much more appropriate back then. And we are going to play some Christmas music because we still are in Christmas, but I want to start out with a little bit different to kind of get us, you know, awakened up a little bit and then, you know, stretch out and maybe walk around the room. And as the old Don McNeil's Breakfast Club on one of the big AM stations of the years ago, march around the breakfast table. Or if it's very early on New Year's Day, maybe stagger around the breakfast table trying to get the coffee maker to work. But regardless of that, we're going to have a good time. Lots of good things coming on. Bishop Callahan will be with us in just a minute. And some bits and pieces of the previous years as we look back at what is now gone. Maybe, thank goodness, 2021. I'm Jack Socha. Be back right after this. We'll get right back with Bishop Callahan, but you know, Tom Thibodeau, the distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University, often talks about being very much aware and thankful for all of the chain of people that bring something that you have to your door or your car or your delivery or your store shelves, that you sometimes forget all these people. I was just talking to a young wife whose husband works for a big convenience store chain, and he is involved with getting the truckloads of cans of soda, a pop, into the different stores or into the warehouse or whatever. And he has to leave his location at some time between 2:30 and 4:30 in the morning. Now, this is all the time. This is probably going on even on New Year's Day. There's just people working right now, all the time. There are nurses and nurses' assistants and medical assistants and people in emergency rooms all over, fire departments, police, just people everywhere who are still working today, not to mention in the convenience stores and in various other stores that are open on this holiday-type weekend, while the rest of us find ourselves kicking back and watching football games. Our priests and religious and deacons are all busy as well as many volunteers at homeless shelters, warming centers, things like that. So if you do go out to pick up some last-minute little thing, like you need some heavy whipping cream or something, do me a favor. When you see the person who's checking you out, would you thank them for what they're doing and how they're making your life just a little bit easier? And if you can do this not just on New Year's Day or the day after, if you could begin doing this throughout 2022, thanking people for what they're doing, because there's an awful lot of people under tremendous strain right now. Whenever I go through the drive-thru to pick up a prescription, I thank them. I said, you guys are working so hard. So just this year, thank people for what they do. It will make everyone much more pleased, maybe feel more appreciated, and that will help them ease some of the stress of what they're dealing with as well. Happy New Year, everyone, joining us on this first show of a new year, 2022. Hard to wrap that around your head. We are moving into the future. The Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse, Bishop William P. Callahan. Happy New Year, Bishop.
Happy New Year, Jack. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope that this is going to be a bright and beautiful one for all of us. We got to get out of this misery that we've been calling life in our COVID mode. So everybody, think about Happy New Year. Think about something new. Think about some ways in which you're going to take care of yourself, maybe a little bit better than you have been.
I think this is going to be the year we get past this. I really do. I think people are going to wake up and realize they got to do what has to be done. And I think things are going to be better. It's not going to happen next week. But, you know, it's I still think we're living in the future. 2022? You know, it sounds like some name of a science fiction movie I once watched or something like that.
Yes, it is. That's just the thing. We're thinking about 1984, and that they wrote a book about it and terrifies us because we look at the future and think about what a terrible thing it is. But we need to look at 2022 and say, that's a book about the future, and it's going to be a wonderful year. So let's try and make it the best we can.
There used to be a pop song out about the future so bright, I think I need shades. And I think we should do that. But in a more serious note, though, this is a very special day in the church calendar. Can you explain what that is?
Yes, it is truly the 1st of January is the Solemnity of Mary. It's not just Mary. It is Mary, the Mother of God. We have a beautiful, beautiful way of understanding Mary, not just as Mother of Jesus. But she is Mary, the Mother of God, because Jesus is God. One of the things I used to ask the kids all the time when I was a pastor in a parish, go into the school, and I would always want to try and ask some way to stump the kids. One of the ones that really, really got them was, is Jesus God? Well, you could just see the synaptic fire coming out of their brain, you know, and, well, no, Jesus is not God. And so you have to go through the whole thing with them to help them to understand, yeah, Jesus is God. And if Mary is his mother, then Mary is the mother of God. Well, it took a whole religion period just to, you know, go over that with them and help them to understand. So everybody, get out your catechism. Go in there and read some of the first lines about who Mary is. She is not just the mother of Jesus. She is not just the spouse of St. Joseph. She is the mother of God. And that's just something. You talk about wrapping your head around 2022. Wrap your head around that. God wanted to have a mother. God chose to have a mother. God chose Mary to be his mother. That's a beautiful thought. And for us to sit and to think about it sometime, Oh my, just to sit in a chair, look at the Christmas tree, do something that is just going to take your mind off all of the craziness in the world and think about God's mother. Think about God's mother. What a wonderful thing. And that's what we celebrate on January the 1st. It is also the World Day of Prayer for Peace in the world. But what a great thing. Mary, the Queen of the Church, the Queen of Peace, she comes to us in so many wonderful ways. And this is one of those ways in which we think about the gift of who Mary is. So Mary, the Mother of God, January 1st.
Usually on shows that run, you know, on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, mostly New Year's Day, they always take a look back at the things that made things important. We don't really do that precisely because it's just way too much sound bites. Everyone else is doing all that. But it's interesting. I was sitting down here trying to think what we should be doing. And people might want to understand that this is your show. This is not my show. I don't have an agenda. That is to say, I'm not planning everything out based on something that I think is important. I kind of let whatever the people of the diocese who come on the show set the agenda. And over the past year, and frankly, more than that, there's two themes that seem to run through this show constantly. One is simply prayer life and prayer. And the other one is service, doing something for others. Now, in this particular show, and I'll get into this in a little bit, I will be playing something you said. I have edited it down to about a 15-minute piece that I've actually played before on prayer life that I thought was so important to hear. And then also, I'm going to be playing something from the folks at Catholic Charities that was very recent, again, edited down a little bit, to give examples of prayer and service. You're talking about, you know, sitting back and looking at the Christmas tree. Catholic, non-Catholic, none of the above. I really do firmly believe, having spent all this time on this show listening to people, that if you're not developing some kind of sense of connection with God, you're absolutely missing out on probably 85% of your life. You got to start somewhere. You got to start, even if you are a person who doesn't believe that anything that anybody, you know, the people who walk around going, the fairy people in the sky critics, you got to start with something. And you got to at least have a sense that you are more than just a bag of bones walking around. And this is why your talk about a prayer life, I thought, was so important. And there's plenty of people, Catholics, non-Catholics, myself included, who just simply, you know, you got to start and you got to just be simple. And you explain a bit on how to do this. It doesn't require, you know, a vast intellectual knowledge of the catechism to do this. You just start. So it's going to be a very good piece, which I'm enjoying offering again for the beginning of this year. Again, there's a lot of stuff you've been saying over the past several years that is eminently quotable.
I hear you say that. I mean, you know, at least this way, you know, the Holy Father may be listening and he'll probably say, well, at least you know, I didn't promote him for nothing.
Well.
So, but it's good. Yes, that's so true. And I'm so happy to hear you say that. Thank you very much, Jack.
Well, and I think people listening agree. I mean, and there's key words you've used over and over again, and this can be regarding pro-life. This can be regarding service. This can be regarding plain kindness. Just the simple fact that no one is disposable, even in their frailty, as you have said. Those words should be engraved on a stone someplace, so they and stuck in the diocese or over at the cathedral. No one is disposable. Bishop William P. Callahan. I don't know what that would be in Latin. That would not be my strong point.
Yeah, well, we'll have to come up with it. I'll spend the rest of my life trying to put it together.
You can contemplate that. Yeah, you can contemplate those simple words for the rest of your life, too, because it absolutely informs every aspect of people's lives. If you look at everybody, the person who's delivering your mail, the person who's working overtime at the drugstore because everything is so busy, and just say, you're not disposable. Yeah. Boy, words to live.
And that, you know, sometimes people think they are. I mean, we're told we're trash. We're told we're rubbish. We're told we're nothing. And all of those different sorts of things start to, you know, they start to sink into our head, and we start thinking that way. And the problem then is when we look at the way people act nowadays, you know, the things that they're doing, they've gotten so used to thinking about the fact that they're no good and that they're just going to wait, they're just wasting God's earth by being here. How tragic is that? You know, how tragic is that? You know, yeah, so you're right. And yeah, I've tried to use that over and over and over again. No one is disposable. It's so true.
And you got it right. You got it absolutely right. So I'm assuming that because some of the things that you've said have sunk in to me, that they have sunk into other people as well. And I thank you for, you know, the past year. I thank you for the past several years because you have managed to get through all kinds of stuff. I mean, I remember a show a while back, it wasn't that long ago, it seems like, when you had just come out of a serious surgery and were still medicated. And you had me over to your residence kind of propped up at a table. But you were,
yes,
you were,
that's true.
Yeah, but you were assuring people who were going to be undergoing the same kind of procedures that you were having that, yes, you were scared, but you were confident, and that, you know, don't be afraid. It's just that and the do not be afraid, of course, which comes from a lot of fine speakers out there, are things that you really need to take to heart. And it will change the way people react in 2022 if they can understand that people are not disposable and don't be afraid. And, you know, another thing that these people who always put anonymous comments saying, oh, all religion should just go away. Well, no, religion is not disposable. God is not disposable. Don't Don't throw it in the trash heap. Boy, you're making a huge mistake. Prayer and service, prayer and service. That's going to be what you're going to be hearing wonderful examples of in this show today. And hopefully you'll take it to heart. And then again, if you were out of town last week and you missed the show for Christmas Day, it's up on the website at diolc.org. And if you want to celebrate more Christmas, because we've got days to go, there is a remarkable, beautifully recorded and cleaned up, edited version from quite a long time ago. Jimmy Stewart and the whole gang from the radio version of It's a Wonderful Life. And one of Bishop's favorite movies. Back in those days, movie theaters were not in every little town in the country. And so they made a radio version of it that absolutely sparkles. Just sparkles. You'll just love it. So anyway, good thing.
Yeah, you know, I remember, you know, with my sister Bobby, you know, Roberta, she would take me down to the Romova, which is the big theater down in our old neighborhood over on Halstead Street in Chicago. And, you know, we'd go down there and she'd take me to see some of the most wonderful movies. And one of them, of course, was at Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, so many things. You know, Bobby is one of the reasons why I have such a great sense of Christmas. She really did such a wonderful job. So I'm real pleased about that. You know, of all the things that went on in my family, my sister Roberta felt good for me to help me to celebrate Christmas and learn how to do all that stuff. So It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, she taught me that. She taught me that. And, of course, in that process, no one is disposable. You know, we learned that together in so many ways. You know, our life was not easy. But we learned that, you know, in terms of just helping one another through some of the most discouraging and some of the most difficult parts of our lives. But it was important. So, folks, keep it up. Let's try 2022. Let's see what happens.
We have a lot of challenges ahead of us. Again, you know, the COVID thing is not gone, and people are beginning to wake up to it. And then, of course, sometimes the availability of vaccines, not that the bottles are there, but the people to inject them or not, because they're burnt out. They're just tired. So just be very patient this year, if you can. Be very patient. Can you leave us with a prayer and a blessing for all of us who are moving into this brand new year?
Jack, thank you. Thank you for being a companion on the journey. It's a good thing. And we need those kind of companions on the journey. We need people to help us to remember the things we've said and to live the life that God intends for us. So as we get into 2022, Lord, we ask you to help us to remember and to be kind and to think about the ways in which you speak to us. Lord Jesus Christ, we think about you and we pray to you. We reflect upon the great gifts you give us. Help us to remember how wonderful you are to each and every one of us. Help us to see you in every one of us. Help us to realize that when we are kind to one another, we are kind to you. We share so much in so many, many ways in which you give us ways to understand. No one is disposable. We are part of your plan. Almighty God, help us to be aware of your gifts and to be kind and generous as you are kind and generous to us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is your Son and Mary's, forever and ever. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, come upon you and be with you forever. Amen.
Happy New Year, Bishop. I'm sure that all of the folks listening and many others in the Diocese of La Crosse will keep you in their prayers as well as the work goes on. It really does. But we will talk to you again real soon.
Blessings. Blessings on you, Jack, and your family, and to all of you who listen to us. Thank you so much. God be with you. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
child is this on Mary's lap who's sleeping? Jack Socia here with you on this first day of the new year for many of our listeners. By the way, that music was from the London Festival Orchestra. Now, many of you probably don't register with that, but anybody who has been around for a while may recall that years and years ago, the London Festival Orchestra did an album co-working with the Moody Blues called Days of the Future Past. And some of the transitions that they use in this song, and one I'll probably end the show with, have a slight reminiscence to that old album that still does a very good job today. As you just heard us saying, prayer and service, two important components to this show over the years. And now I'm going to play for you that part that impressed me so much done a while back with Bishop Callahan talking about prayer life. Here we go. You know, Bishop, I talk to these seminarians over the years, and priests and religious, everybody, and they always talk about how beneficial it is for them personally to have a prayer life. Number one, can you define a prayer life? And how do you get one?
Yes, and that's good. People are looking for ways in which they are going to move more deeply into life in a secular way, but also looking for how they're going to move into life in a spiritual way. People need to have that. People will be listening to us and be certainly thinking about something that's going to come up that's probably going to have something to do with a spiritual nature. And prayer is part of that. Prayer is the communication with God. It is seeking God. It is talking to God. It is the ability to have various kinds of ways in which we not only think about God, but that we do need to talk to God. Prayer is always dialogical. It is the way in which we listen to God and we respond to God. It is the reality of knowing that there is a God. So, when we want to try and establish a communication with God, yes, it is precisely that. That's where our prayer life begins. And it is the seeking of God, the search for authenticity in our lives, a way of understanding that I want to be a good Catholic. I want to be a good soul. I want to be a good person. I want to have some kind of way of knowing that my faith is determined by a whole lot of issues, but the most important thing that there needs to be is some kind of communication with Almighty God. So that's usually where it starts. Hello, God. It's Bill. I just thought I'd stop by and say hello. That's it. That's the start of a prayer life. The start of a prayer life is just the little thing. That's a prayer life. That's part of your saying hello and acknowledging the fact that God is close. You have to think about the fact then that everywhere you go as a baptized Catholic, you have the living presence of God in you. You carry the life of grace in you. So the idea is that we come to understand that there is a higher power in our lives, that there is a way of coming into contact with some force that is greater than I am, that there is something, someone, some idea that is greater than I am. In coming into contact with that and seeking that out in our lives, we are establishing a spiritual life. There is a way in which we come into contact with that with which God intends to speak with us, to call us, to nudge us. And if we stop enough just to be able to listen and acknowledge it, we are establishing a spiritual life. Once we do that, and once that starts to really become part of our lives, then we can move ahead and start talking to God. That there's a way of saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if you're hearing me, if you're listening to me or whatever. God always listens. God always listens. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of talking. Don't be afraid of doing whatever. God always listens. He loves to hear from us. God never gets tired of hearing from us. So don't worry about that. Stop what you're doing. Continue what you're doing. Be aware of other things that are going on, but God can multitask. And so people tell me all the time, but God knows everything that I'm doing anyway. Yeah, he does. God knows. God knows what's going on before you know it. And God knows how it's going to turn out before you do. But you don't. And you need to be able to work it out. You need to be able to talk. And sometimes even talking to God in prayer takes us to a different kind of level of understanding where we're going, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. Because many, many times, any good psychologist will tell you this too, we have a way of working out our own psychological business if we can talk about it. A lot of times a good spiritual director is going to simply ask questions and let you talk about yourself. Let you talk about your spiritual life. Let you talk about your spiritual problems, your difficulties, whatever. You talk about it, and as you talk about it, you work out a solution. You work out a way in which God can use what you already know, what you are already thinking, and how you are already problem solving. God has put those things inside of us to begin with and expects us to kind of use those things. And psychologists, spiritual directors, counselors, people who know their biz help us to choose, not by telling us what to do. So that's a psychologist you don't want to have. That's a spiritual director you don't want to have. Somebody who's going to tell you what to do. And that's not the way you go into spiritual direction. Tell me what to do, Father. Tell me what to do, Sister. You know, that's not it. It is, I've got this situation. And hopefully, a spiritual director is going to say, what's going on? Just kind of get you, me, everybody else, to whatever, to talk about it. And as we do, now I have a problem with God. Well, okay, let's talk about it. God's pretty big. I mean, God's a pretty big issue. You probably may have a problem with the neighbor dog more than you have a problem with God. And the neighbor dog is just yapping and carrying on and doing whatever, and you don't like it. And all these different sorts of things all come together and they become your problem with God. Not quite. You know, there's just lots of ways of working these things out. And so what we do is very simply start your spiritual life with simple things, a simple greeting to God in the morning. Do you still say your morning and night prayers? Do you start the day with a prayer? A simple prayer will do. Good morning, God. Thank you for helping me to live this way. I've got a big old statue of the Blessed Mother out in my backyard over here at the residence. And she's lit up all night, thanks be to God, because I talk to her all night long when I can't sleep. And I just sit on the side of the bed and I talk to the Blessed Mother. Now, this is an image of the Blessed Mother, but I know really that I'm talking to the Mother of God. And I go to the chapel and I sit there and I talk to Jesus because I know that he's in the tabernacle. And I'm not talking to the wood, I'm talking to Jesus who is there. And I know that. And that's the thing that helps me to be able to focus. I think everybody else gets there too sometimes. We need to focus sometimes on the good things that God has already begun in us and just be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm confused right now. I'm sad right now. I'm troubled right now. I feel rejected right now. I'm so happy right now. I don't know what to do with myself. There's all kinds of things going on. God knows that. He uses those things and helps us then to be able to come through. And slowly but surely, we start to trust that God is helping us to do what is necessary in our lives. The more we trust God, the deeper our spiritual lives become. So you try that, folks. See where you're going. Talk to God simply. You know, it doesn't have to be any big, sterling kind of prayer that comes out of a book. You've got prayer in your heart. You've got prayer in your mind. You've got lives of prayer that are just being ready to be lived. You take those opportunities, and I guarantee you that you will hear from the Lord, and you will feel much more confident about your relationship with Almighty God.
Again, that was Bishop William P. Callahan, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse, recorded a while back on what I consider a fundamentally great talk on starting a prayer life. You're tuned to Connecting the Diocese. We'll be right back. Well, there seems to be no doubt about it. As we enter 2022, we are in for yet another rough COVID year. We now have three different variations of the virus out there of different strengths and different capacities to infect. Apparently the latest one is doing a real good job of getting into people. You can't blame the medical community. You can't blame the folks who produced the vaccine. This is a war, and the enemy keeps changing like a shapeshifter, finding new ways to get around other things that have been built into the vaccine. Even if you were to get infected now and you had taken the vaccine and the booster, chances are symptoms would be much milder than if you were unvaccinated or only had one shot or only two shots. A school chum of my wife's has a grandson who's only 40. He got infected, and I don't know whether he had the vaccine, one shot, two shot, boosters, I don't know. He got infected. He's had to have 4 surgeries on his lungs. I want you to make the strongest effort to overcome any doubts, any confusion, to just go and get the vaccine and get the booster shots. Very simple reason. You're not disposable. You're not disposable in the eyes of God. You're not disposable in the eyes of your family. You're not disposable in my eyes. We need you. We need you because you never can tell. Something you say or do in the next few weeks, the next year, the next 10 years could influence someone else's life completely. Just as the bishop saying the words, "No one is disposable in their frailty," really sunk in with a lot of people. You have a purpose for being here. Don't cut it short by not getting vaccinated. Again, our Pope has said it is morally correct to get the vaccine, and he really implores you to do so. The bishops of the United States are saying exactly the same thing. But the bottom line is people love you. People you don't even know care about you, and you're worth it. You are absolutely worth it. So it's 2022. As soon as you can, get the shots and get the booster. Happy New Year, and still, Merry Christmas. You know, we've got several more days of Christmas. Please take advantage of them. Play some Christmas music. Wish people Merry Christmas. Spread good cheer. That again was the London Festival Orchestra, dear to my heart for their collaboration with the Moody Blues back in 1967. You know, the funny thing is, I found that CD somewhere at a dollar store, probably more than 10 years ago. And I have loved that particular CD. The music is so good. We actually used some of that as background music one year when the bishop was reading the Christmas story. So I'm happy to still be able to share this with you as you work your way through the Christmas season. We are talking about things in the past. First, we talked about prayer, and the bishop did a very good talk on that. We're talking about service, and at this particular moment in the history of the diocese, I can think of no better thing to talk about that we've done so much over the years, especially with Catholic Charities, working with the homeless, with power cutoffs, with all kinds of things. But in particular, this year, this 2021 and now 2022, work with our Afghan refugees at nearby Fort McCoy is really putting them to the test, and they are doing well. Of course, they're not doing it alone. They've got other people helping, the Salvation Army and so many others. But here's an interview we just did recently, only part of it, but gives you a good sense of the flavor as to what's going on and what kind of service is being done and what that service means, especially right now. So some descriptions from what's going on at Fort McCoy, courtesy of the folks who are doing a lot of work at Catholic Charities. Karen Becker, from the Development Department of Catholic Charities, you have got a lot of things on your plate. Welcome back, Karen.
Thank you, Jack. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having us.
You folks surprised me. I talked to Roberto briefly to arrange the time to do the recording, and he mentioned a few things that are going on at Fort McCoy, where, of course, our refugees are from Afghanistan, are here. Catholic Charities has really kind of jumped in with both feet on this whole thing. And it's really neat. We're talking about sharing joy and sharing help. You guys are really doing that. What is the newest stuff you're doing over at Fort McCoy, and what have you been doing before?
Well, actually, we've been at Fort McCoy basically since August, about August 26th. We arrived about the same time the first refugees actually were flown into Fort McCoy. So we have been on base since day two, is what I like to say. We were asked by the United States Council of Catholic Bishops to assist them in supporting the mission. Roberto was away from the office just briefly when this all occurred. And while he was gone, I was like, oh, this is in the center of our diocese. This is who we are. This is a Catholic Charities mission to welcome the stranger, to care for those in need. And so I kind of jumped in both feet. And when he came back, I looked at him and I said, hopefully I still have a job. And he laughed and he said, absolutely. This is a wonderful thing to be involved in. So we have, you know, the original mission when we started partnering with them was to open a legal center to provide education through our immigration department to help the refugees discover what paperwork they needed to continue to file, to help them in the process, to educate them on some of our culture and some of our processes. And then it was to also open one women's and children's center. And the women's and children's center is there. It's what the military likes to refer to as an MWR. And believe me, during this process, I have learned a lot of military terminology. And MWR stands for morale, wellness, and recreation. So we opened this, we were to open one women's and children's center, be open about 4 or 5 hours a day, offer a space for women to come together, to have join community, to have tea, to maybe learn some English, to kind of, again, talk about cultural things, to give them a safe place to be able to have community. In the lower half of the building, it was going to be a place for children to come to have daily activities. Maybe, this happened in August and September. We would play outside with them. And as the population continued to grow, you know, the first time I went out to the base, there were about 500 refugees, and we have seen up to about 13,000 refugees, and within a very short time. So it became like creating a town. And within that, we discovered that within the town, we had to have neighborhoods. So our one women's and children's center has now expanded to three women's and children's center. One day, a volunteer brought out three sewing machines on her own, thinking, well, let's see if this this is an activity they might like to do in the Women's Resource Center. On that first day, I watched as a woman, an Afghanistan woman with another young lady, grabbed 3 yards of fabric and sat down with her and created in an hour and a half a garment, a traditional garment for her to wear. And the joy on the woman's face who was able to create this and the joy on the other woman's face who was able to receive it, it was an amazing thing to watch and to see the skill that they had. And with that, with the start of 3 machines, now we now have 2 sewing centers that are open where people are donating fabric, like, and being part of that. And we have volunteers coming in, and the women are allowed to come in and they are making garments for themselves. They're making garments for children, mostly for the women, though, to offer, to continue to offer them that traditional garment opportunity.
You know, yeah. I have to say that I am so darned proud of you people.
I am proud of our community.
Yes, that too.
Without the amazing community support that we have had, the first weekend that I asked for help from this community for it, in the first 3 days, we had $5,000 to assist with these centers. And since then, we have had way more than $5,000. Very generous financial support. We set up gift registries that allow residents to go on and purchase stuff. We also are working with the other Catholic charities in Wisconsin. So I've seen the 5 agencies across our state, as well as one in Iowa, come together in a common mission to provide service to the folks who are on Fort McCoy, to assist them, to help them start to understand, to speak English, to understand, to offer supplies. 15,000 winter coats were needed to make sure that everybody on base had one. Within a matter of 2 weeks, once the request came out, I've seen that filled, and we still have some winter coats coming in. Now we're pushing on to needing winter boots for children, snow pants for kids, waterproof mittens and gloves. But then we also need the continuing supplies, such as tea for our women's tea rooms, where we continue to offer them some cultural experiences. Now we've opened 6 recreational centers. Volunteers are coming every single day. We're going somewhere between 30 to 40, 50 volunteers per day that are traveling from across the state to be part of this mission, that are there just to make sure our centers are open, to be welcoming, to offer hospitality, to help make crafts, even in the women's center, just to sit and listen as these women ask questions. There's a couple stories I can share very briefly with you.
You take as much time as you want.
Yeah. One of the first days that I was actually out at the base, there's a lot of Afghanistan folks who are working as interpreters with us. And so I had an opportunity, as we were setting up one of the first women's and children's and the legal center, to kind of drive back and forth the buildings with him. He interpreted to the community what we were trying to set up, what we were going to be providing, and when we would be opening these services. And I worked all day with him. And by the end of the day, I realized that he had been helping me, and I really knew very little about him. And they experienced such extreme trauma. And so there's opening that up can be more than what they really want to address. But I had the opportunity to kind of say to him, so do you have a family? And he proceeded to tell me about his wife and his 3-year-old, and he had a new baby that was born shortly before they came over here. So the baby was about 3 months. And in my personal life, I have a son and a daughter-in-law who back in May gave me and my husband our first grandchild. So I know what it's like to have a new baby in a household now. And I started to imagine what it would be like if it was my family that was having to flee the United States, if it was my family having to go somewhere and leave everything behind. And he had left his parents behind because he had worked for the embassy and his parents were not able to get out on his visa. So he was only able to come over here with his wife and his 2 children. And here was this 3-month-old baby, and supplies were in short demand on the fort at this point in time because it was new. And I looked at him after a long conversation and I said, you know, you have helped us so much today. What can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you need? What does your family need? And he looked at me and he goes, we're just so grateful to be here. There's nothing really that I need at this point in time. And I said, surely there's something you could use. And he looked at me and he said, a can of formula. And I thought to myself, that I can do. And all I could think of was my son and my daughter-in-law. And if they were in a foreign country, would there be somebody there to help them? And this spoke so much to our mission at Catholic Charities and our mission as Catholics and our mission as Christians to be here to support these folks who literally have nothing when they come into this country, who are separated from family, who are worried about family members who are still back in Afghanistan, who are trying to, you know, here's the young man who is trying to provide for his family and to take care of them emotionally, financially. It's just more than I think some folks would be able to bear. But I talked to a gentleman who literally, he lives in Northern California, and he was had taken his children back to visit his parents. And he was visiting for a month, and he, again, had small children, and they were told to get out of the country. And he told of his story of running to the airport and bullets flying over their heads, and his three-year-old who was terrified, and getting on, you know, another interpreter that I talked to, he and his wife and six children, and his oldest son is 21 and almost wasn't able to come as a child because legally he is an adult. But he says, you know, we all saw the pictures of airplanes, military airplanes full of Afghanistan folks sitting without seats, just piled, compacted into these airplanes. Well, our interpreter and his family was one of those families, and he talks about not, as a dad, not knowing where his family's going to get their next meal and not knowing where they're going to end up, and are they going to even get off the airfield, and are they going to get into a country that will welcome them, and are they going to get to the United States? So I think by the time they reached Fort McCoy and our Wisconsin hospitality, I have seen nothing but joy. Every day I drive on base and you see the soldiers that are there stationed who are playing with the kids. They wave at us, and to watch the children learn how to say hello, hi, you know, the little bits of English, and it improves every single day. And watching me try to butcher Darhi or Pasco back to them, and they giggle about what I'm saying. I think the funniest thing was watching a preteen boy. I was in at the base one day, and I was standing in a line because I was at the commissary, and I was purchasing a Gatorade. I needed something to drink, and his family was in line trying to purchase some supplies that they had. Like I said, they had nothing, and the base was just starting to gather stuff. And this is radio, so nobody can see me, but I have extremely light-colored hair. Some might call it gray, some might call it light blonde. I tend to go with a light blonde. But my hair is uncovered on base, and which is most of the women still wear headscarves there. And then most of them are dark-haired and have dark eyes and dark hair. And this preteen boy was kind of peeking around his mother and just smiling at me. And I couldn't imagine what I was doing that could cause that much humor in this young man's life. And he pulls on his mom's sleeve, and his mom turns around and looks at me, and she grins really big. And I'm still thinking, I just said hello, and, you know, I welcomed them, and I tried to have a little conversation with them, and she spoke pretty good English. But I got back to the Women's Children's Center, and there was a young 16-year-old standing there who spoke excellent English, beautiful young woman. And she was kind of had a similar grin on me, and I said, I have to ask. I said, I'm noticing that people are looking at me, and they're just grinning. And I said, what am I doing something wrong? And she said, no, your hair color and your light eyes and your light hair, so many of us have never seen such beautiful hair before. And I said, well, I had to pull, again, my picture of my granddaughter out. My granddaughter's grandfather on mother's side is from Bangladesh. And so my granddaughter has brown eyes and brown hair. And I said, well, actually, my granddaughter looks more like you than she looks like me. And she was like, no, no. And I said, yeah. And so I pulled a picture of my son, who has dark hair and dark kind of hazel eyes and a beard. And he was holding my granddaughter with dark hair and dark eyes, and showed it to this young woman. And she looked at me and she says, oh, he looks like an Afghanistan man. And I said, yeah, with the beard and the dark hair, yeah, he does. And it was like this enlightenment came across her face that she wasn't so different, that she was going to be able to be incorporated into our community and not stand out as much as I think she had feared. I think she had looked at me and thought, and a lot of our volunteers tend to be my age or older, and so a lot of us are kind of light blonde. And
yeah, me too.
And I think she had thought, how will I ever blend in? How, you know, and she's about 16. And I have to imagine that in her head, there's a lot of fear about, okay, I'm at Fort McCoy and I'm safe here, but yes, eventually I'm going to be moving on to a new community and a new school. And will I be accepted? our communities have been outstanding in just showing love and hospitality and acceptance, and I hope we continue to do that. It's like I come from Little Crescent, Minnesota, and we've got a town of about 5,000. This is almost three times that size. So I have to believe there's spiritual leaders. We have to believe there's barbers. We know there's teachers. We know there's all types of professions that are currently living on the base and ready to be productive in our society as well.
Karen Becker from Catholic Charities, one of the many people at Catholic Charities working to help others in all kinds of different situations, not just Fort McCoy, but day to day. Right now, as you're listening to this, there are people, there are volunteers with Catholic Charities helping to keep those who are out in the cold warmer, helping to get them into the warming shelters. They make sure as many as possible are vaccinated. They take care of both their physical needs and their spiritual needs at the same time. I salute them, and I salute all these folks who are doing acts of goodwill, not just during Christmas, but all year long. I also salute people like Dennis, the bell ringer for Salvation Army, who was working one day on a day when the FSPA was doing matching donations, and telling me that he had been doing this for 15 years, and this particular year he had never seen the buckets fill up so quickly. Boy, that warmed my heart, because we've got some rough times behind us and some rough times ahead of us. And as usually the case, whenever there are difficult times and differences of opinions, you often just hear the loudest voices. The ones who are screaming, the ones who are ranting, the ones who are not letting you put in your word. It's also very important to pay attention to the quieter voices, to the people who quietly go about doing good, to the medical people who may be simply too tired to argue. Just see how they're doing. They can tell you some stories that will convince you that we have to really take action to work together to make sure we get as many people vaccinated and cared for as possible. And right now, by the end of January, as a matter of fact. But there's so many good people out there, you have to kind of put your ear to the ground and listen for them and kind of filter out the stomping around that goes on from some of the people who are just flat loudmouths. They are, of course, much more of a popular thing to put on a video clip on the internet than someone who's quietly doing something. Like one Franciscan sister I used to know at RCIA, the late Sister Janine Luger, who on her way walking back to her apartment where she lived, she would stop along the way and pick up trash. Not her trash, but the trash left by others, just to make the place a better place to be. God bless these people. I look forward to working with them in 2022. I leave you with a song very appropriate for upcoming Epiphany this week. We'll see you next week right here on Connecting the Diocese. And don't forget, if you missed the Christmas show because you were away, you can always go to diolc.org/connecting. There's plenty of Christmas time left to listen to it and enjoy it. Hey, happy New Year.